Hello and welcome to the Facebook program of Be the Change. This is the special streaming of the Brahmakumari social media team on various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and other platforms. For the past 2 months, we have been talking to each other and asking questions and finding answers. Times have been indeed challenging, and we all have joined our hands together to help each other, to be of support to each other. And in times like this, it is important sometimes, even when we cannot help each other, it is important to know that we are all together in this. And over the past 2 months, we have explored various aspects of our ways of dealing challenges. And some of our friends have found it difficult, and they've been brave enough to seek out for help. And when we do, we often find help. The Brahmakumaris have been very helpful to reach out to us, and over the past 2 months, the senior brothers and sisters of Brahmakumaris have been our spiritual guides and resource of wisdom, who have answered our questions, often at times when we do not know whom to ask questions for. And this initiative of the Brahmakumaris is to help people to ask questions, to seek out help when they do not find where to seek answers. This is a place where they can come. Every day we have a master of meditation who is our source of wisdom and who guides us through our challenges. Sometimes it might be difficult to ask a question, but sometimes, even though you cannot ask a question, you can always share how you're feeling at this moment. So today we also have a master of meditation who has been a meditator for more than 50 years of her life. She has been a teacher and student of Raj Yoga meditation. And over her journey, both spiritual and otherwise, she has inspired thousands of people to take up spirituality and to explore a journey on the inner self. We have Sister Denise with us, who is joining us today from Europe all the way. Sister Denise, welcome to the show.
Om Shanti. Thank you so much, Nidibai, and so nice to be here with everyone this afternoon. Yeah.
Just to start with, I would say that it is a real pleasure to have you here, and you're joining us all the way from Europe, and many of our friends would be eager to ask questions to you. And to our friends who are on the show with us, I would like to tell them that if you'd want to ask questions, please feel welcome. You can ask away anything that you would like on whatever aspects that you would want to ask in the next hour or so. You can type your questions in the comment section, either on Facebook or YouTube under this video's comment section, and we'll pick up those comments and we will show the comments in this video feed. And also, if you would want to have if you have a private question, where do you want your name to be kept private, where do you do not want to share your name, you can always write those questions at social media at theratebrahmakumaris.com. So I would like to bring forth the first question, Sister Denise. Many of our friends have asked questions other days as well, but we already have the first question, which comes from a YouTube feed, and our friend Pamela asks this question. And she says, good evening, ma'am. Kindly suggest some ways to overcome any kind of bad addictions, or how can we help our loved ones to overcome any kind of bad addictions?
Hello, Pamela. Yeah, this is really a very important question, because anytime anyone has any kind of tendency towards an addiction, when there is the kind of pressure that we experience now in the COVID-19 environment, this is going to actually exacerbate the situation of addiction. Actually, it's important to understand that addiction is a family problem. Sometimes you will see one person who is having an addiction and you will think that person is the problem, the rest of us are okay. But addiction happens in the context of the family situation. So we need to bear in mind that we're all in this together. Addiction commonly is alcohol, and soft drugs, and then there are the hard drugs, opium, opioids, and cocaine, heroin, all of these things. But it's all because ultimately the person is internally weak and very sensitive to family situations that become volatile. Very easily a person can get angry, can get upset, and then they immediately go to their substance of choice. And there are legal addictions and illegal addictions. So there are many things which are addictions, like there are people who are addicted to food. And they have the great problems because anytime they feel an internal difficulty, they will immediately go and eat, or they will eat sweets or chocolate or something like this. Some people, they have addiction to sport, and they will just do that at a time when it's inappropriate. So one thing that is really helpful in addiction is regular meditation. Why? Because meditation gives you power. And why are you affected by your addiction is because you don't have power. It's not really that people are bad, but people are very sensitive and they're weak. And so any kind of stressful situation will trigger an emotional reaction, which the addicted person will handle by taking that substance. So I would recommend that you get in touch with some of our programs, our meditation commentaries that are online, and start by, you know, practicing those so that you start to accumulate some inner power. And also in many of our programs, we offer so many suggestions as to how you can use your thinking, pure thought, positive thought, to get you across stressful situations, and that's going to help you. Thank you.
Thank you, Didi. I think what you mentioned is also something which is very relevant today. And I was reading an article in the newspaper which was pointing out that how people who are using substance or any kind of tobacco or alcohol or any kind of substance abuse have been having a real tough time to deal with the crisis that we have because of the COVID challenge that we have. Many people are stuck at home where they do not have enough stock of substance or tobacco or cigarettes or alcohol, and many people took up domestic violence and they were showing withdrawal symptoms and nobody knew what to do with them. And when you pointed out that addiction is not one person's problem, it is a family's problem, I would want you to elaborate a little bit about these things, because in current situations, many people don't know that even addicts are having a tough time. We do not know that they are also having a difficult time dealing with their own addictions, and at this time when they have to undergo a situation where they don't know how to deal with it.
You know, to point a person as an addict is in some ways not quite the right way to manage it, because you see, there are many people who are not looked at as addicts, but who are also part of the problem. You also have people who are addicted to the addict, which is also called enablers. And this is why I say it's a family problem, because people need to be very generous to each other in terms of giving each other space for their feelings, in terms of creating boundaries, what is okay, what is not okay. And in the situation of domestic violence, this is where it gets really difficult, because when people are locked down at home and the, say a person is addicted to alcohol, alcohol is a depressant, and it's going to remove the person's inhibitions. And in many cases, it would be the man of the house who has the problem with alcohol. And then when he gets very upset and angry, then he's going to do damage to his wife and children and the house. And then all those people are also going to be reacting to the addict in many ways in an inappropriate way. And so there are programs for addiction recovery. And you can look at that on internet, and there are many, many Alcoholics Anonymous programs, which corresponds very accurately with the kind of work that we do in Brahma Kumaris about personally checking our ability to manage our emotions, to take care that we do not let anger and negative emotions get the better of us. And again, I would stress that every day have meditation. And I know that there are pictures that we saw on the internet media of huge queues in India outside trying to get alcohol. And so it means there's a large number of people who are addicted to alcohol or tobacco or many other items, and that this is affecting people particularly strongly at this time. So take time to sit with God and take power, because this really helps you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I have the next question that comes in from Facebook. And Ananya asks this question, and she says, Om Shanti, why sometimes we feel vacant inside? Can you please explain this? I think this is not a one-person question. I believe Ananya speaks for many, and especially during the time of lockdown where many of us had to stay home, and some people who have been working at home for maybe 2 months or 3 months or so, we have not had time to go outside or to visit our parents or see our family. So there are times when we feel vacant inside, even though we are speaking to them, we are using technology, doing video calls and stuff, but still there is this sense of emptiness inside. So why is it? Is it a natural thing that has happened, or how do we actually see it?
Well, Ananya, this, as Srinidhi says, this is something that pretty much everyone is affected by. And again, I would say that we need to think about this, that mostly everyone is spiritually depleted. And there are three things that we look to for sustaining ourselves. And primarily, it's people. People, places and objects. And especially in India, we give a lot of importance to our close family relationships, and we take sustenance from the energy of other people. But think about it. If almost everyone is spiritually depleted, you are like an empty person trying to take energy from another empty person who is themselves also trying to take energy from you. And it multiplies the feeling of emptiness. And so we just have to understand that our soul is running on empty, and the soul needs energy. The energy that comes through meditation, when you're focused in soul consciousness, think of yourself as a spiritual being, point of light, and that your source is the ocean of peace, the ocean of love, the ocean of strength, and you need to fill. So just as you have breakfast every day, dinner every day, you drink water, all this very good for your body, but what are you doing for your soul? So take in something for your soul so that you can then be in your power, and you can actually share that with the other people around you, because they are all feeling that emptiness inside. Yeah. And especially in times of COVID-19, the things that you normally take your energy from, they're not available. People go to cafes, they go shopping, they do all sorts of things to get energy. But it's like a temporary hit, like with the addiction question. You get a little bit and then you kind of drop down and it becomes something that you really don't have. So this is what I would suggest. And try to do it morning time and evening time, both times.
Thank you, Didi. I believe meditation really helps people in terms of dealing with the emptiness. There is one more question that I also believe is something that many of us are dealing at the moment. Salil asks this question, Salil Menon. He has joined us on Facebook and he says, why we feel fear during this crisis time? I believe not just this crisis, in terms of any crisis, it is natural, is what we believe, that fear is a natural emotion. But sometimes we do not have the antidote ready. We do not know how to react to this fear because we don't know how long is it going to be. And many people have asked this question. So how do we deal with it? How, when we feel fear, especially in times like this?
You see, there is so much uncertainty. I just came to Europe shortly from the United States, and there 40 million people all of a sudden lost their source of income. So 40 million people suddenly out of work. They don't know how to pay the bills. And this is one of the very practical things that's happening with the COVID-19. All the businesses are closed. Many businesses are going into bankruptcy. How do you pay your bills? How do you handle your expenses of living? And so there is fear of financial insecurity. There is also fear that you might catch the illness because it's highly contagious. You have to be very careful, wear your mask, wear gloves, wash your hands, just make sure that you eat the purest food and that you take a lot of care over hygiene, because all of this is spread in the air. And so it's taken in by breathing. Maintain your social distance, because the transmission of the COVID-19 is when you get too close to people, because everyone is breathing, and in the breath that you expel, all these little COVID-19 little microbes are spreading around, and you can breathe them in with the next breath. So as far as possible, stay home and keep yourself busy. There are many, many things. There are so many pending things that we say, oh, if only I had time, I would do this. Well, now we've got time. One of the other things that is happening that is making people afraid is connected with the financial issue, is that because the economies are shrinking, so people are having to work much, much harder just to keep their jobs, and they're afraid of losing their jobs, so they are under a lot of pressure. People are afraid of relatives who may be living in their villages and they don't necessarily have contact with them. Sometimes there are disturbances, civil disturbances going on. I know in United States there are many, many demonstrations and protests going on for different reasons. And so this is also an additional reason for fear. And the response to fear is basically, there are two possible responses. And one is you can respond as a coward. You try to avoid, you try to run away, you hide, you try to pretend it's not there. And the other response, the really positive response, is a response of courage. And always remember, there is a beautiful spiritual law that you can apply for yourself. And it's very simple. One step of courage on your part and you receive 1,000 steps of help from God. So keep yourself in good connection with the divine, and know that whenever you take a step of courage, you're being watched and observed, and your courage will be rewarded by 1,000 steps of help. And this really is an important thing to know, and an important series of steps to take. Whenever things get really difficult, take courage, be in your strength, be close to the divine, and everything will be well. Because as it says in the Gita, very amazing scripture of India, the Gita, everything arises, it lasts for some time, and then it fades away. So even this also, it's here, it will not be here forever, it will finish. And so keep courage and be strong while this is going on, and don't lose hope, and you'll be fine. Yeah.
Thank you, Didi. I think this is something that I've been reading in the newspapers, and many people have been sharing it across social media platforms as well, that this too shall pass. And I guess, like you rightly pointed out, many people are holding on to any bit and piece of positive information that comes through. There is one more question that comes in from Facebook, and our friend Rainu asks this question. She says, suggest the solution of phone addiction in teenagers. I believe more of us have now, over the past few months, have become screen addicts. We've been logged on to various online platforms where everything has become online. Work is online, and students studying is online, classes going online. So many of us have logged on to our phones a little longer, but parents have seen this, that the teenagers have been clinging on to their phones for longer than it was needed. So they see that they are addicted to their phones. So how should we help teenagers to deal with phone addiction?
You know, what happens to a person when they're a teenager? They are not really a child anymore, but they haven't yet quite become an adult. So it's a very difficult time. And for teenagers, the outlook for the future is bleak. Many young people, they don't know what's going to happen. Already there are difficulties with their studies. Already they may be in homes where there is a lot of disturbance. Already they themselves are spiritually depleted. People expect a lot of the teenagers. Many parents assume that their child, particularly their son, will do very well in school and get a very good job and bring a good income for the family. And this is a real pressure for the teenager. But it's so common, you know, parents feel that they have a right to put this pressure on their child. And so spending extra time on the cell phone is very often a response to the extra pressure that is going on. So we have to be compassionate and have understanding. And what people need at the home at the moment is a great deal of love. And so who is the one who is looked to as the provider of love is always the mother. And there's huge amount of pressure on the mother. And now many women are working, including working from home, children, husband, in-laws. There's huge amount of pressure. And the custom is to try to control the teenagers and say, okay, now you shouldn't do this. This is wrong. This is bad. And that becomes more pressure. So I think what's important is to be really kind to each other, because love goes a long way to ease the feeling of pressure. that so many people have at this time, with the especially harsh conditions of the coronavirus. And I think that, you know, the energy that's going on in the atmosphere is very crazy making. And I think that the teenagers feel that, you know, in the air, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of electronic energy, which is actually very toxic, but it's invisible. There's other kinds of pollution going on. And so teenagers grabbing their phone is just an immediate reaction to all of these pressures. So we need to try to bring this stronger atmosphere of love and listen to the children. Don't just talk at them, listen to what they're saying, because it's a very, very difficult time to be growing up these days.
As you were speaking, Didi, there was one more question that came in that was also related to teenagers. Neetu has joined us on YouTube and she says that my daughter is 16 years old and she's a very good child, but now she's behaving very different since the last 1 month. She reacts and I feel that she's feeling lonely. How should I handle, how should we handle teens? Of course, you mentioned that we should treat them with a lot of respect. But I think this is also loneliness that a teenager is facing. So many times we think that, okay, we should let the teenagers do the things that they want to do. But as an adult, you also understand that what they are going through, but they do not understand what they're going through. So probably what Neetu wants to ask is how she can help her child. What would you like to say to her?
Hello, Neetu. Yes, I've been in contact with quite a few young boys and girls who are really missing going to school, because what children need is the social environment of their friends, because this is how they get prepared for life as an adult. And it's really very difficult for children to be holed up at home, and they're away from their friends, they've got huge amount of energy and they're not able to release that energy in their normal activities. So definitely it's going to be very difficult for the young people. And I think it's really easier for the adults to manage these critical times, and the children, they look at us, we the adults are their source, we are their inspiration, and you know that there's a lot that we can do to help each other, to inspire each other in this time. We need intellectual stimulation, we need emotional support, we need a feeling of social cohesion and integrity. And you know, in some places, people in lockdown, they have been doing music together through their devices, or open the window. And you know, in France, for example, every evening at 8 PM, everyone starts singing. And you just feel such a lovely vibration where everybody is just supporting each other by singing or by making the sounds of different musical instruments. And these are just different ways that people have invented to help each other to feel a sense of community, a sense of you're not alone, we are with you, we're in this together. We will get through this, and this kind of support is just really, really helpful, and it makes a huge difference for the children to feel part of. And even if we have to stay in the home, but you can wave across the street to someone who's on the other side and feel that social contact, and this is what they need.
Didi, what you said makes a lot of sense, and I guess it's not just for teenagers. Of course, young people have different ways of looking at life, and like you said, they are having a difficult time at the moment because such times are difficult for everyone, and as a teenager growing up should be difficult for them, and probably we should put in that extra effort to do that. Next question, I believe two questions come in which are related to working environment. The first question comes from Harjinder, and Harjinder is joining us from YouTube. And the question is, hi Didi, I'm from Canada and I work in the hospital. How do we stay nice and calm while working? Thank you. And to complement, we have one more question that comes in from Facebook. Rajni asks us this question and she says, sister, as the lockdown is over, especially here in India, slowly things have started to open up. So as the lockdown is over, I have to go for work and I feel extremely scared of this. How to help it as I can't stay at home and I have to go to work, because situations here are a little different. We are starting to open up and people are starting to go to work, but then there is crowded areas where you see a lot of people in the public transport and you are scared. So Harjinder, who works at the hospital, also wants to know, how do I stay calm and peaceful when I work? And Sister Rajni also asks us that she feels scared and how she can deal with it.
Yes, this is the thing. The lockdown is over, but why people are scared is because sometimes the lockdown being finished, everybody gets over enthusiastic and they don't maintain social distance. And especially when you're in public transportation, that's very difficult. So just make sure that you have your mask or put a double mask, because it's all about breathing it in, and keep yourself healthy as much as possible. Wear gloves, because if you wear gloves, then even surfaces that you touch as you travel between home and work, they can be contaminated very easily. So gloves and masks is really very good. And wash your hands as soon as you arrive at your destination, and be careful about touching your face, because that can also happen. Now, for working in the hospital, it's very stressful. And I've seen a lot of images of people. I have my very good friend who just had a triple bypass surgery in one of the hospitals in USA. And fortunately, in that hospital, there were no COVID-19 cases, but no one is allowed to go in the hospitals. And so the people who are the relatives and friends are not allowed. So the patients are lonely. This is the thing, the loneliness, feeling of isolation. And so whoever are the medical staff, aside from being really stressed in terms of the amount of work that's needed and the difficulty with dealing with the COVID-19 situation, you are also the ones who will be with people if they become very, very sick, and if they are leaving the body. You are the ones, because the religious people who sometimes do this, they're not allowed in, and the relatives are not allowed in. So it becomes the nurses and the medical aides who have to do this. And so I think what's really nice is to keep a song in your mind, you know, just have songs going on inside your head, because that helps you to feel light. And we were studying earlier today about what does it take to be double light. Double light means light inside and light, because the burden of responsibility is too heavy on a lot of people. So just remember one thing, that why are you working in the hospital? Not just only to earn your living, but all these patients, they are also children of God. and actually God is responsible. So you just think of yourself as a trustee, and God is responsible. You are not responsible. You do your best, and your best, of course, everybody says your best is not good enough. It is good enough. You do your best. That's your best. And leave the rest to God, and just keep an easy, light feeling inside. Let yourself know that, you know, within the situation, your best is your best, and it is okay. You cannot control the situation. You cannot change the situation. You do your bit, and the rest is up to God. Put it all in the hands of God, and you will feel a lot calmer and lighter and easier. That should be better for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Didi. I think Harjinder will appreciate that, and many of our friends who are healthcare professionals will appreciate that. To those of our friends who have joined in a little late, for them, if you want to ask questions, you could always write those questions in the comment section of this video, either on Facebook or on YouTube or on any other social media platform that you're using. You're watching Be The Change on the official Brahma Kumaris Facebook page, that is facebook.com/Brahma Kumaris, and also on the Brahma Kumaris official YouTube channel, that is youtube.com/Brahma Kumaris. And if at all, if you feel that if you have a question that is private in nature, where you do not want to give your name, you can always write to us at socialmedia@brahmakumaris.com. We'll ask the question to Sister Denise, and we will keep your name private. And at the same time, if you feel that if you don't want to ask a question, if you just want to share how you're feeling at the moment, or if you just want to give us a shout out, please feel free to do that. The next question is a little personal. Sunit asks this question. She is asking this question to you. She has joined us on YouTube, and she says, how are you dealing with the current situation at your place? I believe one of the reasons why many of our friends would like to ask this question to you is because sometimes when we know that we have a master of meditation who has been a meditator for so long in their lives, what makes it different for you? How do you stay anchored? How do you stay positive in challenging times like this? So that is what Sunit means, I believe. Sunit's question, Didi.
Thank you, Sunit. So nice of you to put this question, because really myself and the other sisters, we stay in the centers, the meditation centers. And we can see a vast difference between how we are experiencing the lockdown. I was 4 months in lockdown in San Francisco, and there was a little window where I was able to get a flight and come to Germany, where I am at the moment. And I am now in 2 weeks of quarantine, because anyone coming from the United States, which has very high incidence of infections and actually deaths also. So all of Europe had actually banned people from USA, but I have European passport, so I'm coming back here. And so while in San Francisco, we were just realizing that, you know, we're in spiritual practice, and so we stay very internalized. We do our meditation several times a day. We could continue our same routine exactly as we were doing before the lockdown. Our classes came on the Zoom system. So instead of having a relatively small number of people in the class, we were going up to several hundred. And then our evening sessions, we would also put that on Facebook and YouTube and Zoom as well. So people all over the world we were able to reach. So for our situation, it became enormously enhanced by the situation of lockdown. And so we were quite amazed. But we also, in our practice, we learn a lot about living together in harmony. And so though we were six or seven people living in the same house and you know, making food, and we eat very pure vegetarian food, and we always have plenty of stocks in case of any emergency, so we were fine in that regard. And I know that in some parts of India during the lockdown, it was impossible to get vegetables, and people were just having dal and rice, and that was it. But you know, when you're creative and inventive, you can make it very tasty. You can make it different every time. And we have lots and lots of ways of engaging in deep conversations together about spiritual matters, taking care of each other, taking care of the people through the online things. And so we were really very fine. And here in Germany, I'm here by myself and in quarantine, but I have many people that I connect with through the social media. So, and at the same time, I also have a chance to do a lot of time in deep meditation and to do writing and editing and a lot of the things that I do. So it has been really a very, very slight change of life for us. And also, you know, the kind of stresses that people are experiencing in terms of psychological stress, emotional stress, we've experienced that our many years of meditation have created this flexibility in us so that we didn't really experience anything like that at all. And we became very appreciative of the training that we have in spiritual practice. So somehow we feel really blessed. And so I would encourage everyone to include some spiritual practice and spiritual study in your life, because it really gives you something that you can apply in any kind of unexpected situation.
Thank you, Didi. I guess many of us have started picking up a few positive things over the lockdown. I was reading, I was watching the television where people have started focusing on fitness, people have taken up yoga, meditation. Many people have even called in at the Brahma Kumaris local centers asking for courses to be done online or on Zoom and stuff like that. So there's a lot of thing that is going on. The suggestion that you have given, many people are working on it. I have the next question from YouTube. One of our friends, his name is Harish, and he asks this question. He says, "Sister, due to current market situations, a lot of people are losing their jobs. What is the message for such affected brothers and sisters?"
This is something global. So Harish, it's important that you raised this question because it's facing everyone. It's one of the prime reasons for the feelings of insecurity and fear, really, because if your source of income is compromised, then your whole life is compromised. And as I said a little bit earlier, I think in the United States, where I just came from, about 40 million people lost their jobs. But as the lockdown gets eased and people are able to go back to their jobs again, and I think that with the easing of the lockdown situation, we will be able to reset our financial arrangements. But one of the things that we learn in our spiritual practice is that maybe in times of difficulty and things are not as plentiful as they were, and money is not as easily available as it was, we also need to simplify our lives. And, you know, when you are fulfilled internally, which does develop through your study and practice of meditation and your understanding of karma philosophy. That's a very big part of it. You learn to stretch your resources. You learn to make yourself happy without the things that cost money. There are many things that are not expensive or not costing any money at all. And we have to think about this. There are so many ways to spend money that are encouraged in the materialistic consumer culture that the whole world is influenced by. But now we have to really rethink these things, recycle, make the food go further, make the things go further. We don't need to get new clothes all the time. I think the COVID-19 has really made us look at our lifestyle and how we handle it, and to make us much more appreciative of what we have, appreciative of each other, and appreciative of the power of positivity as an important ingredient in our lives.
Indeed, Didi, I believe these are some things that many people have started reflecting on. And it is important that more and more of us start re-looking at things and how we should really be looking at life, looking at things around us. And you rightly pointed these things out. I have the next question, which comes from YouTube. And our friend Tabassum, she asks this question. Tabassum says that people around me seem to be happy without effort, whereas I have to take measures to keep sadness away and remain happy, including meditation. Why is it so? And I believe some people have been having these troubles lately. So how would you like to advise her? What would you like to say to her?
Hello, Tabassum. Well, you're speaking for many people, definitely. And it's all about thinking. And I think that we need to have what's called as an attitude of gratitude and really look at the cup half full instead of half empty. You know, someone who looks at what they have, who appreciates what they have, and who spends time thinking about their fortune, their luck, their virtues, their good opportunities, their blessings. You know, there is this expression, count your blessings. So you have many blessings, start counting them. And this sadness and so on really comes from what we think about. And so when we think about the difficulties, the challenges, the problems, or we don't have confidence in ourselves, then we start to feel negatively. And then, you see, whatever our thought is, that creates feeling. And sometimes even you'll have a feeling coming up, but your feeling comes up from a deep thought. And that deep thought can be maybe from your subconscious. And this is also connected with your karma. So one of the things that I've been doing is a big series on karma philosophy that you can see now on Awakening TV. It comes on every day, I think, in the late evening. And go into the depths of karma philosophy so that you can really use that knowledge to make your thoughts, your words, your feelings, your actions productive and profitable and bringing you good fruits, because whatever you think, whatever you say or write, whatever you do, this is seeds that you plant and you have no option. You must eat the fruit of the seeds that you plant. So make sure that you start planting happy seeds, and then you'll get happy fruits. And this is a choice. And we just have to choose to to plant good seeds and choose to stay in a good mood. We have choice.
Thank you so much, Didi. I believe many of us have heard about karma, and here in India, many people do appreciate it. But like you said, that it is time to plant the happy seeds. And many people wonder what this happy seed might be. I have that question for you as a complimentary question to what you just said. But I also have one more question that has come in. A friend asks us on YouTube, and the question is, how do we make decisions more accurately, especially in difficult situations like this? How do we take correct decisions, accurate decisions, is the question.
Well, we have gifts. And one of the gifts that we've received from God is the gift of the power of discernment. And for this, we need silence. So when you have to make a decision, go into silence. And do not make a decision hastily. And do not make a decision when you are angry or unhappy or overly happy. You need to keep yourself in a calm, steady state and just wait until you feel really neutral and steady and quiet inside. And put your problem in front of God and quietly listen for the inspiration. And you have a good chance of making a very good decision. The danger is to make a decision too quickly and when you're in the middle of an emotional response to the situation. That's really the key. Yeah. So, happy seeds, you wanted happy seeds. Happy seeds. One good happy seed that I would really like you to remember is your identity. I am a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light. And that's that. That's me. And start everything with that. And you start on an upbeat. And you will definitely plant the seeds that are planted by pure, peaceful, powerful, loving, blissful people. And you become one of those, and your seeds will definitely be like that. Yeah. Thank you.
I think you have very beautifully summed it up. The happy seed is not a difficult one. You don't have to go to a shop or think about what is a happy seed. I think you very beautifully and very simply mentioned it, that it is who you are, who you really are. And sometimes we tend to forget this. We look for happiness outside. We think somebody else to remind us about it. And our own reminders will be helpful for us. I have the next question that comes in from Megha. And Megha has joined us on YouTube. And she asks this question, Didi, if I meditate wholeheartedly, then within how many days I will feel the change? It's a quantitative question.
Yes, Megha, what a lovely idea. Meditate wholeheartedly. I love that. Well, if you meditate wholeheartedly, you will feel a change within a few seconds. That's what happens when you do it wholeheartedly. No, but the thing is, meditation is it's a journey. And it's a lifetime journey. It's a journey of the mind, and you are taking one good step after another, after another, after another. And definitely when you're on any journey, I don't know if you've been hiking in the hills or anything, but the path is always going up and down and left and right, and that's the way meditation is. Meditation means that you start to live as a spiritual being, operating through a physical body in a physical world where there's a big three-dimensional TV show going on, and take it easy, take it lightly. And meditation means that you talk to God regularly, you include God in your life, You take time to be still, to be quiet, and you just keep going one day after another after another. Sometimes you will have good days. Sometimes you'll have challenges. Sometimes you'll be up. Sometimes you'll be down. But meditation evens this all out, you see. So you will feel this. And the key is to make a commitment to yourself that I will take care of myself spiritually, not just only physically, but spiritually, and I will nurture myself with those divine treasures every day, at least a little bit every day, and there will be an accumulation. Thank you
so much, Didi, and I believe it beautifully sums up on how to be the change, because sometimes we try to do things positively, we try to work with positivity, try to make small changes in our lives, and we want to see the results very quickly. And you also answered that question that it's not a matter of time, it's about when you start doing it, you'll start seeing it. We have come to about 55 minutes of the show, and I do not think so we can take any more questions. But for those questions which we have not answered today, we would like to carry these questions forward to tomorrow, where tomorrow's Be the Change will be in Hindi, of course. And if you want those questions to be answered in English, please drop us an email at socialmedia@brahmakumaris.com, where we will take it for the next week for sure. But my apologies for not taking all the questions today. Even though there are interesting questions, we have a time limit. So I would like to thank all of our friends who have put in questions today, who have opened our hearts to us, and you've shared your personal problems, you've sought guidance, and you've shared so much. Thank you so much for being so open and so courageous and brave enough to ask questions to us. Thank you so much. And on all of our behalf, all of our friends who have asked questions today, I thank Sister Denise for joining us on the show all the way from Europe and giving us such beautiful insights. Thank you so much, Sister Denise.
So let us...
Didi, I would like you to lead us to a meditation. Like every day when we have a master of meditation who joins us, we have the opportunity to meditate with them and to meditate in their presence for maybe 5 minutes or so. So I would request you to guide us through a meditation now.
Thank you, I will. First of all, allow yourself to turn within. Breathe deeply a couple of times. Let the tension fall away from your body. Draw your attention to the center of your forehead. This is the seat of the soul. I am a pure being of light. Feel yourself feel your peace be aware of the power of your soul the beauty of your being. Be the point of light, the spirit. And allow your thoughts fly above, beyond, to another world of light, a silent world. The home of souls. And there, connect with the beautiful source of light, the Supreme Being, the source, the ocean of love and peace. Open yourself to that energy. Let that light, that calm, that flow of loving feelings fill your heart. And overflow. Filling the room where you are. Like a radiance of sweetness that spreads all around you. And draw that energy into yourself. Feel yourself getting filled and let it flow over. And reach the world. You're pure, silent light. Like a beautiful, valuable diamond. A child of the Supreme. Feel your entire being getting nurtured, calm, quiet. And then gently allow yourself to come back to everyday reality. Feel that atmosphere anytime. Take a break, take a moment, turn within, go beyond, fill your heart and mind, spread those rays and come back. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.